Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 16th, 2025. Ileana, I loved reading this because it's just an elevated level of issues. It's like, that's great. That's great. That's great. I mean, good problems to have. So, Ileana is a cash flow tiger. And her question, she is a writer. And she works in a writer's room in the industry, and she's also a playwright. And so that's what we're kind of talking about today. But I want to celebrate your victory. There's lots of victories in here, but I want to celebrate that you wrote 100 years ago. I wrote to you with a question about finishing a play that I'd been commissioned to write that I was just kind of stalled on. And thanks to your guidance and accountability from another member of Cashflow, I finished the play in July of 2024 and turned it in. The theater loved it, decided to put it in their reading series for 2025. So you'll get another little stipend out of it and a trip to the East Coast.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And now you're moving on to the second play you were commissioned to write for another theater, and already the process has been filled with more ease. Oh, I'm totally happy to hear that. Oh, so good, so good. Okay. So, a university in Indiana is interested in producing one of your plays, but there's kind of scope creeping about the process. And you're wondering kind of like, how do you get some clarity with them about what you want, what they want, and how that could align. So, a few weeks ago, they reached out ahead of a residency program that you attended last summer, and you love the residency. You don't want to burn this bridge. They said the university loved your work and asked for if you had any large cast plays. And you sent them two, and they picked one that they're interested in doing with their student body. And you're okay with the idea. But you're only interested in putting in the bare minimum of energy towards this process. It's like, great, do the play. The folks from the university are very excited about the project and already trying to schedule multiple meetings with me in the next 2 weeks. And I know they want to have you, the playwright, present for rehearsals, but you're working in a writer's room right now and you're not willing to commit to going to Indiana unless it's to attend the actual residency program so you could write, but not so that you could sit in with rehearsals and tweak. So they're talking at the moment like the production's already a done deal. And in reality, nothing is confirmed until you give them the rights. I don't even know how much they're going to pay, yet they haven't made the rights request to your agents. So it would be nice to just hand off the play and collect the money. Another complicating factor is that you're a bit torn about the play they selected. You love the piece, but it feels really charged in this political moment. And you were writing about something that happened in your life that's very sensitive. And there's complexity in the play. So I'm assuming you just really want it handled with care and handled with level of expertise to really showcase your intention with the work. And there's going to be a male director, and considering what the play is about, you're sort of like, huh, okay. Wondering about how that, if you can really trust him to guide the process. Got it. So you wrote that you know you have all the leverage here. You just want to make sure that you're using it eloquently, and no, elegantly, and with a level head. Because at the moment, you're just feeling twinges of anger about their presumption that you're just going to let them do this. And you're a little sensitive about the play, even though they didn't do anything wrong. These are just your feelings, understandably. So, what you wrote as sort of like a draft, I want to make sure that our expectations for this process are compatible before we go forward with the production. I'm happy to come in person for a workshop of the play at the residency or to zoom into rehearsals with your students 3 times, but I'm not able to make an extended visit to Indiana during the rehearsal process. My first question to you is that what you want to do? Do you want to zoom into rehearsal 3 times or go to the, what do you want?
I mean, part of my broader mission is like I would like to connect with young people. I would be happy to speak to the students and like so there's but maybe it's once or twice. And maybe I express that in a number of hours rather than a number of times I will attend because I won't attend 3 6-hour rehearsals. But I'll like listen to a read through and answer questions. So perhaps more specificity there. I think my ideal situation would be that the residency program takes me. I get to go over the summer. Maybe there is a workshop in person with students there. Maybe not. Maybe I just get space to work on the play. And then they don't talk to me and it's done. I would really like it to be as low touch as possible. That number that could change a little bit if it happens to be for some reason a really high check. I don't think it will be based on other university workshops that I've had. But if it's like, oh, $10,000, sure, I'll come to three rehearsals. But given that it will probably be 1,000, maybe three, low touch would be great.
Okay. And I mean, is it even possible for you to be invited to like stay there for the residency over the summer and have time to write in conjunction with this play? Like, aren't they going to be doing it during the semester? Or are they going to be doing it over the summer?
So I've seen this happen with the residency before, but they sometimes have productions in residence. So they'll bring a playwright, but then also the producing company will bring actors. And there's some infrastructure that the residency has to host a whole production, not just a playwright. So it could be possible for them to like have the students be part of this residency summer thing also, because the residency also uses undergraduate arts students as like interns and support running the residency. So there could be a way that they could all fold together. And the person who brought this to me from the residency sort of pitched that, like, we could explore ways that we could support this process.
Okay, so I think there's two conversations here. There's one where you can, which is the thing I think you should say first, which is like, okay, let's get all these ducks in a row. And then in that email, you can say, if the production is able to be hosted by the residency during this summer, that's a whole other conversation. So let me know if that's the case and we can have that conversation because that kind of changes the game. But you want to delineate, we can have this discussion about you guys just doing the play whenever, or if this is possible, let me know and we can have this discussion. So, because we need decisions to be made. We can't mean like, well, maybe we could do this, like, figure it out. And then let me know. So let's assume the summer thing's not going to be a play in play. Let them come back to you for a discussion if it is, and add that into the email. Let me ask you another question. So really, it sounded what I heard you say is, "Hey, I'd be happy to be present on Zoom for read through with the cast and stay after for an extended Q&A." And that's about it, right? Okay. Ask for exactly what you want. When it's things like this where it's like, it's not that important to me, it's not strategically like something that's gonna take me anywhere. Then just go, what would I like? What would I enjoy? Not, oh, what would I offer that would make them happy with me? And they like you, or they wouldn't be coming to you. So there's no bridge that you're going to burn here. Now it's just a business conversation about this is what I'm willing to do, and you have to pay me, and blah, blah, blah. So another question I have for you is, at the moment, it sounds like none of this needs to be discussed until they actually put in a rights request, right?
It's
Like,
there
how
was
does,
like
you
there's
tell
one
me, like, how does this work?
So the residency person connected me with the director from the theater saying we just wanted to touch base with you before they went to your agents to get the rights request. I don't know why. But the when they send the rights request to my agent, they will just forward it to me and say, do you want to say yes to this? Here's what the numbers would be. And then I would say yes or no. So it's just me that they're going to be talking with. But it's just usually the agencies have some sort of standard license that they use for situations like this. That standard license will have some standard minimum amount of dollars. And if the university's number is lower, they'll get it up to that minimum.
Yeah. So isn't at the moment the only reply you need to say is, I'm so excited that you're interested in this, and I'm happy to open up discussions about it as soon as I receive the rights request from my agency.
Yeah, I think the thing that gave me pause about that, because I thought about that, was just that if I get a single bad vibe from this director man, I won't give them the rights even if they'll pay and not ask me to come.
Correct. Well,
So I
yeah,
wanted to
you.
suss them out before. But is it like make the request, then we'll talk, then I'll say yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, yes, this is the order. Refusal. There's some obstacles in the way of this being a yes at the moment. Not obstacles. I would say there's some clarification that needs to be in place. The first clarification is, how much are you going to pay me?
Yeah.
So let's get that out of the way so I can see the number. Okay, now I know the number. You don't have to say yes or no right then. Then you go, okay, the number's fine if it is. Now I need to talk to the director. Okay, if the director is fine, then you can say, okay, and what I'm willing to do is this one-time Zoom thing.
Okay.
So this is about what is the least amount of energy that you need to give this decision-making process? And what's happening right now is there's this whole conversation on the front end before two pieces of information are in place that could just eliminate all conversation.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is for everybody listening. If there's a piece of information that would halt all conversation about this, then let's get that piece of information. It's usually money. And then you know if you need to have more conversations or not.
That's so
So,
helpful.
yeah, that's how I want you to conduct, because this is why I was so excited, Ileana, to get this from you, because it's like, ooh, you're in the position now where you're starting to just get requests and offers. And what if we need to have a system in our own head around fielding offers? Because I'm assuming your goal is to get to the point where you're getting like four offers a week for stuff. Will you be in this writer's room? Will you consult on this script? Can we do your play? And you're going to need a way to evaluate the offers if you're getting five of them. And that's the thing. When you're only getting one every so often, we give so much energy and attention to this one. Oh, I can have a million discussions about it because I only have one. I want you to act with this one as if you're getting six a week. Okay, talk to my agents. Great. Let me get the offer on the table. Great. I'll look at the like. Start to, and this is what I mean by pulling in the energy of the life you want to have. And it's not about being arrogant, like, I have multiple offers and you have to pay me $10,000. It's not about that. It's just about conducting business as if this one thing wasn't so special, as if you're getting six a week, because that's what you want. That's why you actually have agents right now, is on the assumption that you're going to need them to help you do your career because it's going to be so big. Okay. So I would just want you to approach this as if you're getting multiple offers, and these are the things that need to be in place. Well, I need, with this particular play, I need to make sure I like the director of it. I need to know you're going to pay me something. And this is how much I'm willing to do for you. So then you tell me. And if there's this whole residency, we can have those conversations. If it's even on the table.
Thank you. That's really, really helpful. I don't have to have this call tomorrow. That feels so good. That feels so great.
Yeah, just email them. Go, you know what, guys? This is just The best next step for us would be for you to just submit the rights thing. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just do it. It'll be easier.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And this is for everyone too, but especially for you, because you're really up-leveling in your career in this way. You can have an energy of warmth and appreciation for their interest and just like a appreciation for their enthusiasm that is very, very warm and still conduct business. I think people raised as women especially, we feel like, oh, if we're not like super nice, then we're being an asshole. There is a wide spectrum in between those two ends, totally people pleasing and being an asshole. And we really make it a binary, and it's not. I want you to be a warm, enthusiastic, welcoming businesswoman. And those things can be absolutely compatible. And you can still say no. And you can still say no in a way that leaves people feeling really good that they asked. Instead of like, man, she's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Can't do it now. Thank you so much. Come back to me next time. Door's always open. That's everything, right?
Yeah, thank you so much. So helpful.
You
It's
bet.
already such a relief to not have that call tomorrow. Wonderful. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Congratulations. To everyone here, I'm Christine Aller. Hi. In case you have never met me before, creator of the Creating Cashflow program. And the way it works is I got some questions submitted. We have some great questions today. If you didn't submit a question, but would still like to be coached, raise your hand through Zoom so I can just kind of monitor our time and see how we're doing. So I know there was a weird problem with the link, I think. So I apologize for that. I don't have anything to do with that, but I will definitely let the powers that be know about that. Okay, so Phoebe, you are here. Let us do this. So Phoebe has questions about her website. Phoebe, can you put your website into the chat so
Yeah.
people look at it and follow along with me?
Absolutely.
Phoebe is a cash flow tiger and she is a professional harpist. Let's do your second question first.
Okay.
So you reached out to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel,
Yep.
letting them know, hey, I've played there a handful of times in the past. I would love to be on your preferred vendor list. First of all, congratulations for doing that. Well done.
Thanks, Christine.
Welcome. Good move. You received a call from them almost instantly, and they asked, how have you been hired to play there before? You said, hey, I filled in for some other harpists, and you played for an afternoon tea service. And they said, well, have you ever been booked by the Purim Agency? And you said, sounds familiar. I think they were the ones that paid me for one of the substitute jobs, and that you don't have any current relationship with them. Waldorf told you, okay, we have a high tea service still. We'd be interested in trying you out for the month of March every weekend. And would you quote them, please? However, looking back in your emails, you saw that the Purim agency asked me to agree to a non-exclusive agreement back in 2022 where they would advertise me to clients on their websites, yet you could work anywhere you wanted except for venues that they were you were hired through them. You let the Waldorf know, and they want me to check with Purim to see if we still have an agreement before moving forward. You haven't heard from the Purim people since 2022 on that one substitute job. And you're wondering, like, how do you ask them? Do we have an outstanding agreement? It seems kind of ridiculous that you'd be prohibited from playing at a hotel. Okay, because of one thing 3 years ago. Okay. Where does it stand with the Waldorf? Have they said to you, Okay. Let us know if we should go through this agency. Is that what they want to know? Do we need to hire you through them? Or if we have to go through the agency, we don't want to hire you? Or what's your understanding of where what they want?
My understanding is that this guy, Aduit, I think his name is Aduit, was intense and but very interested in having me. And when I said, no, I don't have a relationship with them, I'm a single person, I'm not with an agency, he was like, give me a price for March. Like he was eager to have me come. But he asked about Purim because he was like, I work with this company and they hire people. And if they hired you, like, I can't go behind their backs. And so then when I followed up with him, he said, yeah, see, I didn't even know if I should be talking to you because we still work together. And if it's with, if like, find out if you are free. But he, I don't know, Christine, if he would book me through them or if it would just be a no-go if.
Okay, so we don't know.
We don't
But
know.
it sounds right, but it sounds to me like he has a relationship with the agency. So if you're with them, it sounds like the odds are he'd probably hire you just through them.
That's true. Yeah, that's
Maybe.
true,
Unless he's
right?
hoping like, ooh, an independent harpist that I could get for cheaper than the agency charges me. We
Right.
don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
But since the cat is out of the bag, now when you agreed to this agreement, was it in writing?
It was in an email. It wasn't like I signed on the dotted line. It was in
Like an
writing,
agreement.
in an
Okay.
email.
Now, this is something to think about. For next time something like this comes up, because it was just a sub job and the person was like, hey, and then you were dealing with the agency because they were going to pay you,
Right.
right? And everything is fine, everything is above board, there's nothing, no one's doing
Yeah.
anything wrong here.
Right.
So when you're next, let's say, meeting another agency for something and they're like, okay, but this needs to be like non-exclusive, you can go back to them and say, that's great, I'm happy to honor that for 3 years.
Okay. Right.
It
Right.
doesn't, I'm really wary perpetuity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's like, I'll do that for 3 years.
Yeah, Christine, thank
Let's
you
see if
so
they'll
much.
go, okay. Just
Right.
for future.
For future. Yeah, because I had never, this has never come up before.
Yeah,
And it
no.
was so like, and Christine, to get that offer to like, I mean, you know, I've been working with you. I told all my win is I let all my students know I wasn't going to be teaching anymore. You know, it was incredibly emotional, but like I did it and we're all good. And then I started reaching out to people and I'm like, oh God, let's hope because I don't have that teaching income. And then, I mean, I would have made so much more. Let's say I could work there for the month of March, so much more money. So yeah. And then, so it's so interesting. It's like, oh, this one weird thing, but now I know, like, hey, in the
Yeah.
future, I know.
Right. And this is really the universe going, we see you, Phoebe. We see what you're trying to do. And we want to make sure that you become a strong business person because the opportunities are out there. So we're going to give you this opportunity to deal with this situation, see what you can get out of it, and then just keep in the back of your head, okay. I'm not going to like agree to things. I'm going to perpetuity, Freudian slip in perpetuity. I'm just going to like be more aware of when.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like the next step would be to contact this agency and say, hey, and here's the thing. You don't want to contact them and give them the whole story. You want to contact them and go, hi, do you still have, or do you still contract musicians with the Waldorf Astoria at this location? Likely they'll say yes. But if they say no, then hey, you don't have to do anything. You know, you
Right.
find out like who's, I think this is what I would say. Which representative at your agency is in charge of contracting with musicians with the Waldorf Astoria at this location.
Yeah.
Because that's the person you need to talk to. You don't need to tell the whole goddamn story to the first person you talk to. Find
Right.
the person and then say, the Waldorf Astoria is interested in booking me for March. Like it's a done deal. They're
Okay.
interested in booking me for March. Back in 2022, I agreed. I worked with you. I substituted for one of your clients and worked with you and agreed that I wouldn't work for somebody that you have a contract with. So I'm approaching you to see if you would like to represent me in this one deal. And I'm sure they'll say yes, but maybe they'll say no, and then you're free to go back to the Waldorf and go, and they don't want to work with me. They'll likely say yes. And then you go, great. So what do we need to put in place for you to go back to this person at the Waldorf and get me in there for all four dates in March?
Right. And it's actually, yeah, it's like March has 10
Whatever.
week
Get me
date.
in
Like,
there for
so,
all of those.
yeah, for all of these dates. And so, Christina, here's with the thing, right? I do know the one person. I know that his name is Tony because a do it on the phone to me was like, do you know Tony? Like, it was confusing because in the conversation, I just was reaching out to say, hey, do you. And he was like honing in on Tony with Pure Agency. And
Okay.
so I know it's Tony, and that is the, I think he's the owner of the company, and that's the guy I dealt with that one time. So I know it's him.
Great.
And then the Pure, the Waldorf guy, though, he was like, outside of this conversation, find out what's going on. Like, you know, to me, Christine, I'm like, am I going to get this guy in trouble for like talking to Tony and telling him I contacted the Waldorf and spoke to this guy? Because this guy, a do-it, was very much like, I don't want him to think I'm going behind his back. Like,
But you're n
no.
no one's going behind anybody's back because the Waldorf guy alerted you to the fact
Yep.
that
Otherwise,
you
I wouldn't have
work
known.
right.
Right.
Like this is everyone being above board.
Yes. Okay. You're right. It is. Now I feel better because I felt like I was trying to protect this guy from even having spoken to me. So I was getting okay.
No, he obviously, since you're a Purim person or you've had one point of contact, he wants you to go through the agency
Okay.
because he
Okay.
has a good
Right.
relationship with Tony. So you call
Right.
and you say, I need to speak with Tony. What's it about? I have an offer from the Waldorf Astoria.
Okay.
I need to have,
Yes.
you know.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Great. And
Thanks,
so the
Christine.
energy. This is important for everybody. The energy that you're bringing to this is a done deal. You're being above board and cutting the agency in on this. Can they please help you do whatever they need to do to keep their great relationship with this hotel? I would never want to do anything to harm the relationship that the two of you have, which is why I'm, but you just have the energy that this is going to work smoothly. And at some point, they're going to tell you how much you're going to get paid. And then you can decide if you want to do it or not.
Okay,
Not
right.
you having this discussion isn't you saying yes.
Right.
It's just because the agency gets to quote a price and then the Waldorf guy gets to say yes or no.
Okay, yes.
But I want you to come in not asking for permission and
Right.
oh, I just don't want to upset anybody. No. You are a business person
Yeah.
because you're a business. You are providing an excellent service and you're just trying to do it above board. So let's do it, guys.
Right.
What's my quote? What do I get?
Yes. Okay, Christine. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And even if Tony comes back to you and says, great, I talked to blah, blah, blah at the Waldorf. You're going to do all 10 dates for this amount of money. And you can still say, oh, no. That's not enough. You can
Right.
say, you don't have, even if they take on the energy that it's a done deal, it is not a done deal until you say yes.
Okay. Yes.
And then you can decide if you want to negotiate or not want to, whatever.
Right.
Isn't it amazing that if this agency thing had never happened to you in 2022, you would have likely, I mean, so go. I want you to talk to all the hotels. I want you
Right.
just to, like, yeah, you, it's such a hug from the universe of like, Phoebe, you're well received. There's work out there for you.
It truly is, Christine. Thank you so much.
Okay,
Thank
so let's look
you.
at the website. You're very welcome.
Okay, yes, and
Now,
I was typing it in the chat.
one of the questions you had is, should I post my rates on the website? Tell me, because there's two schools of thought on this, and neither one is wrong or right. What's your thinking in not having them on your website?
Yes,
Do you
and I
think
did type
differently?
my, sorry guys, I typed my email in weird. I mean my website. It's just phoebemadisonmusic.com and I put in my email address. So sorry. It's hard to type in here because I don't have a keyboard. So Christine, your question was what are my thoughts about having it on there versus not, right? Like what is that for me? And I think what that is for me is it used to be more like, well, I don't want almost like other harpists to know how much I charge. That's not a thing now. I think that's back in the day, I was more private. I think I was a little just more insecure. So at any rate, I didn't post that on there. Now I feel like I remember something of yours, maybe it was in the course or something you've said in the past about pricing, which if I'm hope I'm not butchering this, but it was sort of like, well, if you post your prices, it weeds out the people that don't want to pay your prices. So you'll have less people contacting you that aren't serious, which at this point is that sounds nice to me because it's less time I'm going to spend talking to people that wouldn't pay. And I really don't have an issue with other harpists at this point in my life seeing how much I charge. If anything, I think other harpists should be charging more too. So if they think I'm charging more than them, then maybe they can raise their rates, you know? I think, yeah.
I mean, the argument for not posting your rates is much more about, like, well, then you get a chance to have a conversation during which you can counter their objections to your price in real time.
Right.
If you're not good at that, then that conversation just feels weird.
Right.
And for me, because I always come from the point of view of, like, how can I spend the least amount of energy to get the maximum result? It's like that, if you post your rates, it eliminates a conversation that you don't need to have, because someone goes to your website and the only question they have is, well, how left after looking around is, well, how much?
Right.
So if there's no real reason, it would be different if you had one quote sheet for these type of people and one quote sheet for these type of people. That's
Right.
it. But since you don't, just
No.
post rates and don't worry. Okay, so that's the answer to that. Now, you have a lovely website. First of all, I want you to know that even if you didn't make any changes, it's good. And there are elements of it that are really beautiful, like the video that plays at the
Okay.
header of, like, it's, it definitely has a good texture to it. I
Okay.
think a few tweaks that would be helpful for you to make. So I want you to know, though, that I think it's good
Okay.
as is,
Okay.
because I'm going to critique, 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 critique,
Yes,
critique
that's
it.
thank you,
I'm like,
Christine.
Jesus, she's tearing it apart. I'm just
No,
doing it.
that's good.
Okay.
That's it.
So the thing about most pages on your website, they usually start with a big picture, photograph, And your photos are very large.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what's happening. So, first of all, I'm looking at it on a desktop. And
Okay.
depending on how large I
Cool.
make the screen on my desktop, it rearranges. And so
Oh.
when my view is long, then your photo appears on the side with the text next to it, and that's nice. But because your
Okay.
photo, when you uploaded it, is actually a very large image,
Okay.
when it's in mobile mode, which means it gets thin, or I'm looking at it on an iPad probably, or a phone, the picture is really large, and I have to scroll all the way down this jumbo picture to get to the text. It doesn't
Okay.
align. This is the problem
Wow.
with websites these days. You have
Right.
to orient them so they look good on the desktop and on an iPad and on an iPad in vertical and on a phone in
Right.
vertical. And there's usually whatever platform you're using has different ways to do that. But you want to check on multiple devices of what people are seeing,
That's
but most especially a phone. So I think the size of your image
Yeah.
needs to be smaller so that
Yes.
when placed at the top, it's not Jumbotron.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so when what's interesting about your website is that it's all written in the third person. Phoebe does this and contact us and we will get back to you, as if it's the company.
Right. Yep.
Which there's an argument for that, but you're in a service where someone is hiring you. You are the special sauce of this service. Just like I'm the special sauce of my service. Even if I had coaches working under me, people are attracted to me. I am my business. You are your business. So it would be better to talk like it's you. I started playing harp at sick. Like, let them just meet you. And on the contact page, it's looking forward to hearing from you. Send me the note, I'll get back to you. Like, make it you.
Make it me.
Yeah.
That's so helpful, Christine. That was something that was honestly, it was like, because I had my previous website that I told you a little bit about, the person that built my website, who I'm so grateful to not be working with anymore, but like he had written in a lot of that. Like he had written a lot of that, and then I have to change my voicemail because it's still like he's doing my voicemail thing, and it's just, it's not me, and it's this guy, and it's like it's not even my style.
Yeah, I
So
want this all to be you.
yeah.
Because they don't want to hire from your website and then you show up and it's like, well, this is a very different vibe. And
Yeah, right.
if you're
Totally.
quirkier, what's interesting is your videos show you as much quirkier and more modern than a lot of the imagery on your website of these old
Right.
harpy photos of
Yeah.
women in
Yeah.
long dresses, like
Yeah. No,
in
it
the old
is. It's
days.
a mishmash.
Yeah, and I think on the home page, it says, first of all, it says about, which is confusing. You're on
Yeah.
the about page of the home page, so get rid of
Right. Okay.
about and have your photo there,
Okay.
but don't talk about you. What happens on the home page is you're like, I'm a harpist, this is what I do, concerts, wedding music. If you're looking for music, you want to talk about the So to be like, so glad you're here. If you are looking for a musician with the sensitivity to curate an atmosphere of beauty, elevation is not used appropriately here. Elevation is not an adjective like beauty. If you want a musician with the sensitivity to curate an atmosphere of beauty and elevate your event, that's proper use of that. I would love, you're in the right place. I do concerts, wedding, because I'm coming to your website going, oh, does she do weddings? Or, oh, does she do concerts? Like, oh, what does she do? So speak to me
Right.
and let you know I'm here for.
Right.
Yeah, I do all of this. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh, this is my vibe. We're going to have great, whatever. And then the other thing, and I would put the test, not the testimonials on a separate page. I would put them on the home page. And the best testimonial, like to lead with, is the one it was like, Phoebe played for our wedding ceremony. Her playing was absolutely beautiful and it really created the perfect ambiance and set the sacred mood for our wedding. Oh, I mean, you can have a testimonial page, but even putting that one sentence, boom, right at the top of your homepage, it lets the person visiting going, oh, I'm in good hands. Somebody loved her. And then you have a weddings and events section with nothing on it. So you don't need to have it. It just says interested in booking.
Which I think that part of that, Christine, was I was like going to populate that page more and more like detail, but maybe I don't need to. I mean,
Well, get rid of it until you do it. We don't want you going around your website going, oh, there's nothing here. The same with shows.
Yeah, like as soon, right, just get rid of it until I
Get
do.
rid of it. And you may never need it. If you're booking all the work you need, you don't need to add anything to your website.
Well, this is
Now,
something new, Christine, that like I guess I'm sorry to interrupt you. Because I am coming out with an album. I am wanting to like actually do concerts of my own material, not just my events that I do, but like for weddings and hotels. But so I in my mind I'm like, okay, I'm finally gonna do my own concerts. So I'll have an event page so people can find out about my concerts, but I don't have those going on yet. But I think I'm in the mindset of should I promote myself as an artist or as an event harpist? I'm like in between the two, and
you're a
I'm a
harpist.
harpist.
You have albums
Right.
and you're available to do weddings and concerts and things.
Great. Okay.
You are a harpist. It's all under that umbrella.
Right. Okay.
And doing, being paid to do someone's wedding takes nothing away from the fact that you have an album. It's just everybody knows everybody needs to make money.
Right.
Not a mystery anymore.
Yes.
Okay, so the other thing is on your video page. Your videos are really creative and really great. The thumbnail that is, and you can, it's easy to go into YouTube and switch out your thumbnail. But the, I understand after watching the videos why this thumbnail looks grainy and with the filter. Because the it's your sh the video was made to be like she's not old fashioned, she's really hip and modern. However, not knowing anything like that, not knowing you, I reach this page and I'm like, oh fuck, if I hit this video, it's going to be a grainy video from 10 years ago of her playing at some concert because that's what it looks like. It looks grainy.
I see.
Yeah. I want a crisp, clear video of you, the same photo, just without the graininess. And your name across it is in purple, but the whole picture is kind of purple, so I can't read it. So you can put a white, you know, something behind the name to make it pop. But anyway, but that's very minor. And the other thing about all of these three videos, they're all great, but my issue is they all three have backing instrumental concurrent with you playing the harp.
Right, that's true.
So it almost sounds like I'm not actually hearing, I don't know if it's you playing the harp. It sounds like it's a video of you playing the harp with a soundtrack in the background. Do you know what I mean? I need a video of you just playing the harp. And I mean, Wind in the Barley one is the closest because I think the music comes up later where it's backing tracks. And I'm like, ah, because if you're playing at my wedding, there's no other backing track.
No, that's so true, Christine, because it's like right now, the only videos I have on there are actual music videos. Like those are music videos that I
Right.
made.
Right. And they're great.
That's different than a video of me playing at an event. It's totally, yeah, it's
But
not.
here's what I need you to do. On your homepage, I want you to take the wind and the barley one, cut out the intro, just give me a couple seconds, 17 seconds, 12, whatever, of you when it's just you playing your harp without the other instruments. So I
Okay.
can have 15 seconds of like, oh, she can play the harp. That's because when I watch these videos, I'm like, I really don't know if you're actually a good harp. I mean, I know you're a good harpist, but that's fancy. Like, is she playing the harp or is it just a soundtrack?
I totally get that.
Because at the moment, right now, the reason this is important is the emphasis right now is on you booking gigs. When it shifts to you selling your album, then you can have all the instrumentals. Okay, and then the last thing I want to say is when this is in, there are places, and I want you to look at this. I'm trying to find, like, where was it? Yeah, I think it was just in some, either when it's like landscape, the text was going like from one edge of the website page to the other edge, and it was really overlaid over an image, and it was really hard to read. Now, it might be the browser I'm using or whatever. It's fine, but I just want you to check it on multiple browsers and multiple devices. You can't control everything. My website, some pages look wonky on a device. I did it the best I could, but you know. Yeah. But otherwise, good job.
Okay, Christine.
That
Thank
helps.
you so much. It's so helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. So, Lydia, are you here? Yes, you are. Okay. Hello, Lydia. Lydia, Cashflow Tiger. She's a voiceover artist, among many other things. Okay. Congratulations on your victory. You advocated for yourself, which we will talk about. Yes. I love it. I love it. Okay. First question. In the past, you worked for this company that does serialized audiobooks. They constantly praised me as one of their best voiceover artists, but when I was brought on, they quoted me a rate. However, at an event in December, I found out that my male counterpart, who worked on less successful shows than I did, earned more. But of course he did. I asked him, and he didn't even negotiate. That was just his initial offer. The company just offered me another show. Oh, the company now has just offered you another show at your old rate. And you wrote back asking for more, stating the value that you bring. I'd love your feedback on what you'd change in my email for future encounters. Okay, so what happened with this one?
So I wrote the email. He got back to me like 40 minutes later and was like, I think we can do that at the rate that I said. Though this company's so disorganized. The very next day, after I get the contract finalized, they say, oh, we're holding off on recording. We don't know how long. So, like, if it happens, fantastic. If it
Right.
doesn't, that's par for the course for this company. But at least I negotiated a higher rate for when I do work with them again.
Yes. And maybe that's all that was for, is for you to be like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna go for it. Because what if you have to lose a not job? It's not maybe not happening anyway. Yeah. There's far less risk.
Here, getting more
Better
than
to,
that muscle. Because negotiating for me has always felt like this big, scary thing. And so part of me almost didn't send the email. I was like, oh, you know. And then I was like, no, Lydia, no. So that was the big win, was like,
Yes.
what is the absolute worst that can happen? There is no downside. So I'm just really happy and proud of myself for sending the damn email. And it
I'm
worked
so.
out, kind of. Like, I got
Well,
what I
yeah.
wanted.
But isn't it crazy? You guys, when people offer you a rate, they're hoping you just say yes, but they sometimes have more money. And sometimes when you just go, no. They'll go, oh, well, what about this? Like, or if you ask for something, they'll go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. They're doing business. They're trying to get you for as little as possible. But the first, the also the reason that this happens in the workplace is because we women have collectively taught them, because the majority of us just take the first thing because we're so grateful. And we hope they see our brilliance and offer us more out of the generosity of their heart. It does not work that way. Unfortunately, in this creepy, weird capitalistic system that we're in, not the way it works. Watch the dudes. They know how it works. They do it the way it works, and they're far less emotional and they don't take it personally. Some of them are sociopaths, and that's why. But we can take a note. We can take a note. Okay, so down off my soapbox. But let me read the email and then let me just give you a tweak. By the way, what you wrote is fine. I don't want to, it's totally fine. Obviously, it got the response you wanted, which is how you know it was fine. Hi, whatever. Thank you so much. I'd be delighted to be the voiceover artist for this project. Looking over the contract, everything looks good to me. However, I'd like to discuss the rate. I believe this rate actually reflects my skill, professionalism, and other credits, including the success of my previous show, the history of working with big name companies like Netflix and Tubi, the positive feedback I've received from the team for the consistency of my audio quality and performance, my recent award from the company for excellence in voiceover. Need I say more? I look forward to working together and immersing myself in the characters once the contract is finalized. I love the whole once the contract is finalized bit at the end.
I think I heard that from you at a previous call for someone else.
That's right. So, what the tweaks I would make is at the beginning, when you say, looking over the contract, everything looks good to me. Not true. One thing doesn't look good to you. Say what is true. And just like I was saying with Ileana, ask for what you want and say what is true. So, you can say, looking over the contract, the only thing I need to discuss is the rate, because that is the truth. I'd like it to be blah, blah, blah. Which is on par with my colleagues and reflective of what I've brought to the company. Looking forward, that's it. It's, I understand that you were giving them proof. Wait till the, if they come back and say, well, no, then you come back with, well, I don't really understand your thinking on this sense. My success, and this, and then you offer the proof. But you don't need to put forth all of this energy when it's not yet necessary. So just say it. Oh, the only thing I think is the rate. I'd like it to be this because I think it's commensurate with my colleagues and reflective of the work I've done for you so far. Looking forward to it once the contract is finalized. And then if they come back, then you can offer the proof. So it was good. It just spoke to me of like, just like, oh, but I have to justify my worth. And it's like, no, you don't. Because dipshit over there is getting paid more than you. No, he's lovely, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, just say it. Again, like I said with Ileana, warm, happy, excited to do the job, but we just need to take care of business. You're not being an asshole. You're being a warm, lovely business person. Okay, second question. You wrote, I've been stuck in an unhelpful mindset loop. I've never been able to stick to a routine, not in business, not in life, exercise, sleep, whatever. In my last session with Miata, we came up with a plan to focus on cash flow growth this year, 20 to 25 hours a week in my marketing of voiceover, 20 to 25 hours a week applying for support jobs. Since the meeting, I have not stuck to that. So I beat myself up. I spend a lot of mental energy telling myself I'm lazy or a failure or a myriad of other mean thoughts, none of which make me want to stick to a routine or a plan. So I fall short and the cycle continues. How can I break this cycle? I've tried Miata's weekly scheduler, the time blocker on cash flow, and a whole bunch of other systems that I can't seem to stick to. telling me there's some sort of mindset block in the way. First of all, thank you for being very candid with this question. I think a lot of people listening to this will be able to relate. So I appreciate this question. So sometimes when we're in this sort of thing of like, oh, I want a routine, I want to be putting time towards this goal and putting time towards that goal, and I'm not doing it. Where we put our attention is, how should I be doing this? When should I be doing it? What's the system? But especially when you've tried multiple systems, and by the way, there is no magic system, and you'll find a system that might work for you for a while, and then you might need to change. So it's not like you haven't found the Lydia system that's going to make it all perfect. It doesn't exist. Okay, but we put our attention towards trying to figure out how should I be doing this? When should I be doing this? Instead of going, oh, what? Why am I not doing it? Regardless of how, regardless of when, what is keeping me from allowing myself to do it? And you've correctly identified that it's probably not a system. It probably is a mindset thing. But I would say it could be a mindset thing, and it could also be an emotional thing. Sometimes we don't do things that we want to do, even things that we know are good for us, because there's feelings inside that we're not allowing ourselves to feel that are creating resistances to us doing the things intellectually in the light of day. We're like, of course I want to do this. But deep inside, it's like, but there's actually a reason I don't, or a reason I'm scared to do it. Because it actually doesn't matter when you do what you want to do or how you do it. Having the perfect morning routine and this is my schedule and this is what I do, that works for some people. But I wouldn't care if you did your action steps towards your goals messily and did them differently every single week, as long as you were doing them and moving forward. You don't have to do them neatly and pretty. You just have to do them. And if you're not doing them, why then is the question. So let's investigate that a little bit. And this is so important because there's so much emphasis in our culture, in our linear culture of like adhere to a schedule. Our culture wants us to be robots. So let's get as close as possible. For some people's brains and nervous systems and just the way they're wired, it's like, no problem. Love me a schedule, can hit it every week for a while. But a lot of people aren't like that. They aren't built like that. And they're just like, I fucking hate this idea of running my life like this. Totally fine. That's not what the culture says, though. So we want, and that's why you're beating yourself up and saying mean things. And that's the worst part about this whole thing. Not even worse, the worst part isn't that you're not moving your goals along. The worst part is you're beating your sweet self up because you're like, why can't I just be a robot? It would be so much easier. So here we are. You're not a robot. What's going on underneath? So, what do you think is going on underneath this? I want to market my VO business and I want to look for support jobs. I mean, do you want to do either one of those horrible tasks? No. Who wants to market their business? It's the worst part of business. It's the most grueling, like confronting all your fears part of business.
Yeah.
And you're an artist, so you're marketing yourself, which is even harder than kind of a service. And who wants to find a fucking support job? Nobody wants a support job. You want to just do the VO stuff. It's like inside of you, it's like, I don't want to do this. And I'm willing to call myself mean things to prevent me from doing it. I'll take that punishment over having to do it. So we have to be real first. We can't just pretend it's just this time management system that will make you feel like doing it. It's like, no, there's no time management system on earth that's going to make you want to do these two things. You're going to have to find a way to look at them that in a way that feels real to you. So your lizard doesn't pop out and go, bullshit. That will then allow you to do them. You don't have to like doing them, but we have to get you to allow yourself to do the things you know you want to and should do because they're good for you. For example, after my sister died, it was really, I was like just staying up so late at night. Like my eyes were bleeding, and I'd be like watching another stupid video on YouTube. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, just go to sleep, just go to sleep. And so I for a while, I didn't know. We always know, but I didn't know. And then I realized that when I hit the pillow at night, and my body, and I sank from my mind into my body, all of the emotions came. I didn't want to feel that. I would rather not sleep. My body was like protecting me from the dangerous feelings. So I was like, whoa, I got some more feelings to process here so that I can allow myself not to be scared about going to sleep. It wasn't like I needed a better sleep hygiene routine. It was like I was just not in the mood to feel the feelings every night. But once you do, then they dissipate and then you can eventually go to sleep at night, So what's going on?
It's so funny. I had an idea. And then I forgot it.
Isn't our mind, it's protecting you.
It's
Like, you don't
protecting me.
want
It's like, no, I don't want to let go of this.
to. Yeah, you don't want to feel that.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll come back. So when you think about marketing your business or thinking about a support job, is there failure attached to either of those things? Like, oh, it's not going to work. Or, oh my God, I'm such a failure because I don't have a support job already, or that I
Yeah.
need a support job. I'm wondering what are the stories about these two things that you say you want to do, but you're not doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point. So because I know I've mentioned it in here before, because of in part the gift from my grandma when she passed, and in part the money from the mediation associated with my assault, I've been able to not have a support job for 4 years now. And I think that there is a lot of, ooh, hello, emotion, shame
Yeah.
with not having made what I consider enough progress to not need one again. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's funny because logically I know like what Miata said about runways and that like you plan not to shame yourself for when you hop off the runway and back. And yet my brain's going, you should have been further. Like, I'm earning some of my income from VO and on camera and all that. And yet it's like, well, 4 years, you should have been fully full time because look at all your friends who like have to work all these horrible jobs. You had the gift of not having to. So like that means you should have been further. And I that
Yeah, and who wants to spend 20 to 25 hours a week pushing their shame down? You know, like when you have you ever tried to push a, like a beach ball down under the water and how hard that is? That's the effort that you have to do the 20 hours a week of looking for a support job. You're also at the same time pushing that shame below the water and going, okay, it's exhausting. Who wants to do that?
Not me.
Right. So there's the stories. The stories is like, oh, well, before you had the ability to not have a support job for 4 years, you told yourself a story of like, oh, well, if I only had more time and didn't have to work, then I could get my artistic stuff up and running. And then you were gifted with this opportunity to prove that story wrong. And it was like, oh shit, huh? I had that for 4 years and it didn't actually work the way I had been telling myself it would work. So now I'm ashamed that I couldn't make it work. Okay, well, that first story, it was a load of shit too. That, oh, all artists need is all the time and energy and money to make their artistic career work. They tell us that. There are so many other variables involved, especially now in this era. I want you to think about what was happening in the last 4 years. Pandemic. I know it wasn't a voiceover strike, but it was strikes in an industry that is now reevaluating. What are we doing? And AI is on the scene. There's podcasts that sound like people that are not people. Voiceover work? You were blessed to have this money to get yourself through the last 4 years. Who knows if you would even have had gotten a support job if you tried during the last 4 years? We don't know.
Yeah.
But this is really important for everybody because a lot of the stories that we've been telling ourselves about how life should work don't apply now and haven't really applied since 2020, if not 2016. But let's just say 2020. So we really need to do a big purge of these stories as artists of like what we're supposed to be able to make happen through our own effort. I don't know, maybe not. But what if the story was like, I'm capable of finding a support job, totally willing to do it. Because I'm willing to do anything to get by in this weird, crazy world so that I have moments and opportunities to do my art. And I don't care. I don't care what. I don't care how I get to do my art, whether it's through an inheritance or a support job or whatever. I don't care. I just want to do my art. So I'm going to arrange my life to do it. And what if you also told yourself, well, I'm also going to only do this if I don't have to do it as a robot, if I can just do it as Lydia. And some days Lydia's going to want to wake up and do it this way, and other days she's going to want to do it this way, and it's not going to look the same every day. But that is what will make my life enjoyable. And what if that was your measure of success, of how much fun you're having trying to pursue art?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess that you need to do some journaling, or I don't like to use the word need because it's very black and white language, but I think it would benefit you to do some journaling to release the shame. Now, when I say journaling to release emotions, this is what I mean. It's not like, I'm so grateful to have, it's not a gratitude list. It's not surface. It's not surface emotions of like, I've been holding on to a lot of shame. It's not intellectual. It's journaling of like, I am so angry that I've been sold stories about this, that this is how I spent time. I am so sad that I would treat myself like you go to anger, you go to rage, you go to grief, you go to loss, you go to sad, and you just write about it. You get it out. You can curse. No one's going to read this. You can rip it up afterwards and throw it away. This isn't for anybody to read, but it's about you to go real deep, deep, deep. And go, this is what I actually feel. And then you can also go, and I don't actually need to feel that anymore. Those are old stories. And you can say, I'm so sad I spent so much time thinking these old stories. I'm so sorry I tortured myself for 4 years going, get it together, Lydia, get it together. You have this. What I could have just enjoyed those 4 years and used that money. And like, and you gotta mourn some of that. And you can also shake your fist at the way the world is going that makes this even harder for artists. But then you can also start talking to yourself in a different way and just be like, yeah, but this is what I'm going to commit to. This is what I'm learned from the last 4 years. This is what I'm taking with me from the last 4 years. I'm going to treat myself differently because life is too short to talk to myself for 4 more years like that. Like, when we're grieving decisions we made or how we treated ourselves or whatever, the best thing to do is go, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's how we grow. We go, wait, oh no, ah, I'm so sad I did that. And I'm not going to do that anymore. And then we go on with our lives. And then our lives start to have a different texture than they used to. So I have a feeling that if you really did some excavation and healing, excavation first, then healing with real honesty towards yourself and real kindness towards yourself, that a lot of this other stuff will fall into place. Because it's not like you're something. It's not like you're incapable of using a system or figuring out a system. I don't know. And use a different one every week. I don't give a shit. Like, by any means necessary. But it's there's nothing intellectually, and that's the other thing. A lot of times, smart, capable people go to their intellect first. Obviously, I know you know this. You wrote in, it's a mindset problem. You get it. So, but we go to our intellect and go, well, I understand it, so why isn't it changing? It's like, okay, because it's not an intellectual problem. It's an emotional core problem. So it has to be fixed somatically and down deep, not up here. So how is all that landing? That was a lot. How's it landing?
I feel very, very seen. That last comment about thinking, like, I know it's mindset, and I have been trying to think my way out of it. And I am, like, when you said, I could have been enjoying the last 4 years. Who did that hurt? But like in a
Yeah.
I don't think I even realize how much I'd been pushing that down as I just thought about all the things I was doing wrong. And so I'm sad, but I also feel very, like right before something very good happens, that's what this feels like, where it's like, I know it sucks and there's going to be. I love writing in my journal, and I haven't been very much for the last year, and I think that's probably part of it. That I've been avoiding some deeper things. And so I'm just very. There's a lot of feelings, some sad, some not.
I want you to be so excited and grateful that it was only 4 years. For some people, it's decades. It's only four. For you to look back and go, oh, okay, no, actually, I want to enjoy every day of my life. Doesn't enjoying every day of your life doesn't mean you're going to be happy through every day of your life. Joy is a bigger thing. It encompasses the bittersweet and the sad and everything, but it's just you're alive. And I suspect, although, I mean, I don't know you very well, I'm just going off a hunch here, but I suspect that the life that's gonna feel better for you is actually gonna feel a little messier. I think you like to be a good girl and keep it together in a nice little. I'm not saying your whole house is going to look messy. I'm just saying that to allow it to be a little more creative and artistic looking and feeling. Not your house. I'm talking about you inside your life.
100%. You know, when I've let that be the case, I am more productive. But it, when I try to squeeze myself into a schedule, because that's what I'm told, both on the bigger and like my family's very involved in a sweet way, but they're also not like me. And so then I try to make myself like them. Anytime I try to fit myself in a schedule, it feels like every nerve and sinew is scrunched, just trying to make it work, and like my insides are eating me out. And when I allow myself to be messy in how I get things done, I just feel so like me. And so this was so helpful to hear that that's okay.
Oh, it's better than okay. It's the only way you're going to get what you want. It's the only way you're going to expand into the life that feels like it's your life. And I want to say something, this is for everybody too. Is that you
I know you want to join in.
good? So when you have a spouse, whether or not that spouse is even looking your way, but when you have a spouse or a family that is looking your way, it's very easy to be like, oh, I want when they look over here to just look like I'm doing it right so that they can stop looking. Go away. I'm doing it fine. And I'm going to offer an experiment to you, a challenge for the rest of this year.
Ooh.
I want you to experiment with not justifying your choices, your actions, and the way you do things. You just do you. And if someone's like, wait, so why are you doing it? Oh, because this is what works for me. Period. No discussion. Women, one of the, especially women, but this can happen to all humans, one of our biggest, most common energy leaks is justifying our desires, our choices, our, just everything in life. Just, oh, let me explain, let me over explain, let me justify why I want a higher rate at work. Here's all the thing. It's like, stop. Yes, you have a partner. Yes, you have a family, but this is your life. And at the end of it, you don't want to be like, well, I hope everybody liked when they looked over and glanced at me that I was doing, got a gold star for doing it like they thought I should. No, you want to be like, wow, I lived as me. I discovered who I am, and then I actually was that in the world. Holy shit. My soul got to do what it wanted to do, and now I'm gonna die. And it starts with you not justifying who you are, why you want what you want. You just do it and make the choices. And another time, a lot of times, spouses who just love each other and they're best friends and they're all up and my husband and I have been together 35 years and we are really great friends. And I talk nothing about my business to him. I might mention things once in a while, but it's like he's, I don't. So I'm gonna like buy this course and no. No, we have joint money that's together, but then we each have our own money because I don't want to talk about the choices I'm making and the things I'm doing and the things I'm doing. He's not interested anyway, but if he was interested, wouldn't matter. This is what I'm doing for me. I love it. And I want that freedom. And I don't want to spend any extra energy justifying everything. It's great if you're in a relationship, now I'm going beyond you, Lydia, because I don't know. But if you guys are in a relationship and you want to join all of your money, that's fine. But still also, if you do a business, just keep your some business money separately so you can make some decisions that don't have to be fucking family decisions, especially as a woman. Because then you're just spending energy like explaining and justifying and like, ugh. Just make the fucking decisions. And then you can share. But sharing is different than asking permission. And sometimes you're not asking permission. You want validation. Or you want like approval. Or you're not sure about your decisions. So you go to somebody and you're like, does this sound good? And they might not be the person to even ask about that because oftentimes people react to you either based on their own fears and biases. And if they're not entrepreneurial or artistic, they don't know the life. And so they're like, oh, I don't know. What about that? Or they pick up on your uncertainty and then go, yeah, I don't know. You seem uncertain about it. So I'm going to also be uncertain about it. That happens a lot. So when I need insights about my business, want to bounce something off, I go to my business friends and my business people, my coaches and whatevers. I don't go to my family or my husband. Like that's not the conversations we have. And then what's great about that is then the relationship you have with your husband isn't about your art. It's just about the two of you. And your dogs and your whatnot in the house and la 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 la. It's much fun, much more fun than just being like, everything's commingled and I always have to look like I'm on it. It's your inheritance. That even by law isn't enmeshed with your, I'm speaking like to everybody here. When you get an inheritance, it's actually, that is not commingled money in the eyes of California. Your inheritance is yours. So you don't even need to talk about how you're using that money or what you're, that's what I'm talking about. Don't justify what you don't need to justify. Don't Ask for permission on things you don't need to ask for permission on. Don't involve people in your life in ways that they actually don't need to be involved in your beautiful, expansive, artistic experience that you're having on Earth. Okay, so.
That my partner is the most supportive, like, do it, spend
Fine.
the money. My mom is the one I just like translated, like, she doesn't need to know how I'm spending the money. She doesn't need to know how my time is being spent. I was like, oh, and that
Yeah.
just, like, there've been
And
a lot of, you know, when a universe gives you a message in multiple places, a lot of people, a lot of conversations, a lot of therapists have been saying that my relationship with my mom needs to have some stronger boundaries around what information I give her.
perfect. Because she's looking for more information, one, to stay connected to you. There's other ways you can stay connected. And she's also looking for information to soothe her own worries. And she's never going to learn other coping mechanisms if you keep feeding her the information so that she can soothe herself. If you keep managing her feelings and trying to be the daughter that she, like, seem like the daughter that will make her calm down. That's her journey. So when she asks you, which she will, so what are you doing with this, or what, how are you looking for the job? Oh, I love that you are interested. And I'm great. I'm doing great, Mom. Let's talk about this. Oh, no, but I want to know, what did you do this week? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Period. Stop talking. You have to stop talking. That's the challenge about the non-justification, non-over-explaining. Oh, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this. So have four subjects in your back pocket that you can talk about. You just change the conversation. Ladies, especially, but everybody, you never have to answer a question that is asked of you. You're an adult. But we are trained to feel like we have to answer a question that's asked of us. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just get good at being like, oh, ha ha ha, let's change the subject. You get good at just steering the conversation to a different subject. And eventually the person will catch on. It could take them years, but eventually they will. Because they're just not going to get anything. She's not going to squeeze it out of you. It's like, oh, you can ask as many times as you want, but we're not having that discussion. That's good. We're good. Okay, I'm interested to hear about how this works. So we have no more time, but I did have a question from Angela. It was also about time management and scheduling. So I will point her towards this discussion because that might also help. Otherwise, that's cash flow for February 2025. We'll be back in March, everybody.
Thanks
Dorothy.
so much.
Good to see you. Thank you, Ruthie, for the head
Christine.
nods. I saw them all. Bye,
Oh my God, you're awesome, Christine. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.